I want to welcome all of you here on this, the third Sunday in Advent. Also those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. Let's open our service this morning with song number 19, O Come All Ye Faithful, number 19. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, shall we give thanks and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we can gather together to bow our knee before your word, to gather together as brothers and sisters in faith, and to enjoy this time of Advent and Christmas, the time that was centered on the birth of two little boys. And so we see the wisdom and of your heart, the largesse of your heart for all mankind in that. Soften our hearts with that message of light and peace and hope in spite of all the news we see seemingly more and more often. We thank you for a brother who will come to speak to us these words, and we ask that your spirit would put these words into his mouth that would cause ultimately that you would be glorified, but that we'd be encouraged along the way, and to see the beauty of your salvation that you have provided for us full and free through the blood of your Son who was shed on the cross. So we thank you for all of these, and then the many requests we have. We think of Barbara Holmgren, her recovery from her medical situation. We think of Pella Velivara's dad. I believe his name is Oscar. The health issues that he's facing, indeed all the family there is facing. Our constant prayers always with Brother Dave and Karen as we do what we can to help in that situation. But only you, dear Lord, know the ultimate plan. But give us faith as we go on, even in the situations in our own lives that seemingly are not just perfect. So hear us as we pray as your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with the next hymn, number 102. The 146th Psalm is on page 485 in the Pew Bible. And we'll read this 146th Psalm in the name of Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, in his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. We read these psalms, and oftentimes in face of the news and the violence we see so often, seemingly, we almost use the words of Longfellow in his poem that is put to music at this time of year, as I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols played, wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then a verse, stanza or two later, he says, then in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But then he ends with the most uplifting, someone will help me with that one too, I had it. Then peal the bells more loud and sweet. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. For the good shall, the wrong shall fail, the right prevail. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We kind of see this, that yes, ultimately, but we see so much pain and suffering, violence in this life, and the word mocking seems to be the word. Mocking is used for someone who's got the upper hand on somebody, and the defeated seem to be down, and that's the time to mock them. The Old Testament, they were being led into Babylon captivity, and their harps were hung on the willow trees, and the captives mocked them and said, "Well, sing us one of those songs. Sing us, how's your God doing today?" You know, that sort of mocking. And all of these have to be seen in the ultimate victory of the Lord over evil, and yet this victory has already taken place when Christ conquered all evil, death, and the grave when he was crucified and rose again after that 35 or 33 or 35 years he spent on this earth. So these psalms are just the ones that we sing ourselves as we meditate on these verses. We certainly don't put our trust in princes. We are part of this kingdom of this world, and we certainly exert and promote the party and person that we, but we don't put our trust in that. And how much wisdom there is in all that. And our hope is in our Lord. We do not place our hope into anything else, the shifting sands of time. And the Lord then clearly, these figurative expressions, how he opens the eyes of the blind. He certainly did that in the case of the man born blind in the 9th chapter of John. But also he opens the eyes spiritually of the blind so that we can see. Because we've been there ourselves. We don't have to say only of those other people. He raises those that are bowed down, all the different cares that cause us bowed to bow down. He relieveth oh boy, fatherless and widow. But then he concludes with the part that the Lord shall reign forever and ever. This is a present reign he's talking about. It's the reign that Christ rules in the hearts of his believers. We certainly can't see that there's certainly many things that happen in this kingdom of this world that is not correct. And we wonder, well, how is he reigning in all of that? But certainly he reigns in the hearts of his believers in this kingdom where he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King that's so different than any other king that has ever been. So the psalm ends with the very first words. It begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." Let's continue with number 16.
Thank you.
greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. We are in the middle of the Advent season. It seems to come so quickly. Christmas is almost upon us, and yet we recognize the gift that God has given is that he has given us time. He has given us here in time to be able to hear this message of the gospel. We have a God who is so long-suffering and patient, isn't he? Continues to allow this word to go forth, the word that has been through all generations. You know, the more we read of the scriptures, I think the greater blessing we understand that how powerful this word is. You know, when it began in Genesis with the word of creation of Adam and Eve, and as the world began to develop and mankind began to recognize the need for a God, the fact that he called them through the message that the prophets had spoken unto the children of Israel as they were formed. You know, as they continued to go on, the waiting for that which God would supply, the fulfillment of his promises. And we have a God who has made many promises throughout the scriptures. And the blessing is that we don't see one of those promises that have been broken. You know, the fact that he brings to us a word that really shouldn't have survived the ages. Written on parchment, written on skins, copied meticulously by the children of Israel. It should have been destroyed. It should not have arrived to us today. But it has. And it's a word that is sure. A word that brings to us something that this world cannot bring. You know, we see the things that are tangible in this world, and we understand because we are a part of it. We deal with it on a day-to-day basis. But how often do we reflect on those things within our hearts that we can't touch, that we can't feel in a physical sense, but we can experience them and know that there is something more than what we see in the world, that there has to be more than what we see around us, that it simply exists and then is gone. And that's what this word brings to us. It brings us that message of hope. It also brings peace into the heart, because there is, I don't believe, naturally occurring within the human heart peace. There's a constant striving for something more, something better. And that is how God has created us. And it is how, you know, the world around us has continued to go forth. It's not something that God has cursed us with, but he has brought us to a place where we recognize that, you know, this is a part of who we are, and yet there is something more, you know, that God continues. And that is that we have a God who deals with eternity. He deals with those things that are eternal. He has created within all of humanity a living soul, a soul that will not die, a soul that will receive that which this word brings to them. You know, this is the gift we have in the hearing of the word, the blessing that God has given it to us. And so, you know, we can sing with these songwriters, we can praise our God, you know, the fact that this word is not just one that was born physically 2,000 years ago. We know that history testifies, the word testifies to us of this birth of a Savior, birth of Jesus Christ. But it is the effect and the power of the word to be born within each human heart. That is God's will and God's plan for salvation, is that all men would come to the places, as Peter makes known, of repentance and of faith. You know, a God who continues his long-suffering towards us to share this message of the gospel. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke for our meditation this morning. That is found on page 749 in the Pew Bible. I'm going to read from the first chapter of Luke. I think Luke is the one that we probably all know most well, the second chapter of Luke, the birth of Jesus. Those first 20 verses have been etched into our minds and into our hearts from our youth, and it's a great blessing that they are. But we're going to turn to the first chapter, which is it's a marvelous account given of Zacharias and of Elizabeth and of Jesus. and Mary, and of John, who was John the Baptist. As our brother mentioned, we're dealing with this time of the year with two little babies that were born 2,000 years ago. It's pretty amazing that we can remember their names, that we know their names. But God has intended, and he has recorded it such, so that we would know them. You know, John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Zechariah prophesied of, the one that would come to prepare the way. You know, a God who causes things to be written, you know, hundreds of years before. You know, think how long this country has been in existence. You know, we're, approaching 250 years, and yet hundreds and literally millenniums before, God caused his word to be effective and fruitful within the hearts of the prophets, within the children of Israel, within the proselytes that believed, that had heard this word as the children of Israel went out, as they were scattered for many different reasons, for many of them because they were persecuted, taken captive. But God provided a word that would secure their hearts. And we're going to read from the 39th verse of chapter 1 through verse 56. We'll read this in Jesus' name. That's Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb, of thy womb. And whence is this come to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, and he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath holden his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Amen. We often hear of the birth of Mary and Joseph and the fact that they had to move. The story is one that message is one that has been repeated over and over again, and it's a special message to us. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, God and his work works within us even in spite of the questions and the doubts and the fears that we have. I think Brother Tom has alluded to the fact that we live in a world that so often we find things very difficult around us to understand, at least. You know, the circumstances sometimes that we are in, the state of humanity sometimes is very troublesome. And yet, it isn't any different than those that have written these scriptures that they have experienced. You know, the amazing thing about the scriptures is we don't have these perfect people that are held up before us. We have sinners that have found the need for the grace of God, that have believed God, that have trusted him, that have leaned upon him. You know, as we go back to even to Abram, as we have been studying in Genesis and Sunday mornings, you know, the fact that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You know, he was brought to a place where he had to even doubt his own mind to understand that he could receive a child, because he was promised a seed that would be so vast that he couldn't number them. And yet, God provided for him because he believed God. because he trusted that God would honor that promise that he had made, a covenant that he had made unto Abram, that he would be unto him a God, and that he would be unto we would be unto him a people. The fact that we have a God who supplies that gift to know that his promises are sure, a gift of faith to believe what his word has supplied for us. And we have picked up Mary kind of in the middle of the situation. We'd have to go back to a number of verses within this first chapter to see that she was espoused to Joseph. She was not married in the sense that we know they were together, united in marriage, but they were espoused, which was about a year-long process in the culture that they lived. And yet that bond was as sure as the marriage bond is today. You know, the fact that they were united in that espousal, they were engaged in our terminology today. The fact was sure that they were as if they were married, except they had not come together in marriage. And so she was found to be with child. You know, and that would have created such a dire situation for Mary. Because in that day, she had those around her would have had the right to stone her because the fact that she had engaged with another individual outside of the marriage bond. And she was coming to that place where she had been spoken to by the angel Gabriel. And he tells her this in verse 26. He says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be." In other words, the angel speaking to her created a dire situation within her own heart, not considering the outward circumstances of her culture. The fact that she recognized that this was problematic, and yet, you know, to know that this promise had been made, you know, through the prophet Isaiah. If we go back to the earlier part of Isaiah, he speaks of that which God had promised unto his people, the deliverance that would come. The fact that he would provide a savior unto Israel. You know, if we go back to the seventh chapter of Isaiah, he writes this. He says, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but also will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," or God with us. You know, that God would promise this hundreds of years. Isaiah lived in, you know, around the year 700 BC. So we're talking close to 700 years prior to this promise had been made. And for Mary to receive that, because God's word is communicated from one generation to the next. And it has always been so. God has never left a gap where this word is not communicated. You know, it's something that is far beyond what the human intellect can conceive. But God brings to us these promises as he brings to Mary this message that you are going to be highly favored. And she saw him and she was troubled at his sayings, as we read. And then it says, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." How many of us have not had fear or questions or doubts? Mary, we're told here, did. She was troubled in her heart. But you know, this world is full of questions, isn't it? You know, and I think that's the amazing thing about the scriptures, is that God doesn't deny those questions to us. He doesn't deny the fact that we have fear. But he comes back with that message of counsel that we should fear not. You know, the other gospel that was said, set aside on the church calendar, there were two this week. The other one was from the Gospel of Matthew, and you know, it brings more questions. You know, John the Baptist, who we're reading about here, was put in prison eventually, and because he was preaching, you know, he was preaching the truth, and he sends his disciples out, and you know, they ask or he asked them to, he says, to go and see. He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, he says, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And then Jesus gives him the answer of what is truth. He says, Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things that ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, this is the message of truth that is being prepared for us. The fact that, as we have just sung, that Christ is born into our hearts. You know, that's the power that this word has, the effect that the Holy Spirit is able to take this word. As it used this word in the heart of Mary to cause her that she would not fear, that she would receive this word, that she would go forth, that she would understand that this is God's work. And Mary asked the question of the angel in verse 34. She says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The very fact that she would believe and receive this word. Because the Spirit speaks to us also, doesn't it? That we would receive this word. We would receive this Jesus who is the Christ. This Jesus who came to supply unto us what we could not do for ourselves. To bring salvation, to bring redemption, that we would be redeemed. To be brought to a place where we would share eternity with our God. And that is what is done here in time. The gift of the gospel is brought to us so that we can hear this word. And so that we can know that this is God who speaks. The power of the Holy Spirit that is able to testify with our spirits that this is God who speaks to us. And then as we go into what we have read, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. And she went to see a relative of hers, Elizabeth. You know, this is in the first early months. She's not hiding from anything, but she's seeking out some comfort here, I believe. She's seeking out someone who she knows and who will understand her. It says, behold, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice. She said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. This recognition that Elizabeth, who was also of old age, you know, she shouldn't have been able to bear a child, but God supplied unto them a child. One who would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two meeting here, both of them in the womb. You know, the blessing that we have to know that, you know, God speaks even in such a way. We live in a culture today that does not value that. You know, we want to take away the humanity that there is at conception. But to recognize that spark of life that God has given at conception, that is the life also here that God is speaking of here that is dwelling within the womb of Mary and Elizabeth. The fact that this work of the Spirit entered in and caused these two to recognize that this is God's work. That's the testimony of the Spirit in our lives too, is that this is God's work that speaks to us of what? Of the salvation that Jesus Christ came to bring. The fact that He died for you and that He rose again for you and that He sits upon the right hand of God for you. That's a powerful message. That's the message of the Spirit to speak to us directly, to testify that this word, that this is for me, that I can receive this because God has said so, because His word is promised, and because He never breaks those promises. And then she asked that question. She says, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? You know, this recognition that this was something more than just a child that Mary was bearing in a natural sense. But this was the promise that had been made unto Israel. You know, we sing that song, the first song in our songbook, O come, Emmanuel. You know, and ransom captive Israel. The fact that that Israel recognizes, that we also today recognize as individuals, that outside of this work of Jesus Christ, we are without hope. But that God has supplied this promise. You know, that the salutation when it comes, it says, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She recognized that this which God had spoken through the angel, which God has testified through his word through the ages, was that which the Lord would perform. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She recognized that this was God's work. You know, her place in Jewish society wouldn't have given her much hope to be able to receive and to be a partaker of this word. But you know, when God speaks, and we see the amazing thing when Christ is present, how he changes things. He makes each one of us an heir of grace. He makes us and draws us to that place where we can magnify our God. He brings us to a place where we can say, as Mary says here, that my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. We no longer have those stations that were so distinctly set in Old Testament times and even in societies today. You know, we have those ratings that we have. We place higher value on others. And yet we are called here in this message of salvation through the kingdom of God. We are called to one place. It's one level of grace. We are given that gift to believe and to trust that this word which God has supplied is from through the work of the Spirit. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She went from one who, you know, in society's eyes should be destroyed, to one who would bear the very Savior of the entire world. The fulfillment of the promise of God from the very Garden of Eden. God supplied unto her that faith to believe and to trust. He said, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. We see the heart of Mary, don't we? We see that heart opening up, the recognition that, you know, I think it would take it simply on human terms, there would have been a place for Mary to say, well, look, I'm above all of you. You know, I have a place and a station in life that no one can match. But she recognizes this work of humility that Christ brings to each and every believing heart, that we are not better than another, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, she says in this way, he's regarded the low estate of his handmaid, and behold, henceforth shall all generations call me blessed. Why? Because she was part of that work of God. Because she was brought to that place to carry the very Son of God. One of the songwriters that we has written that, Mary, did you know? Did you know what the full extent of this child would be? You know, I don't believe it would be humanly possible for her to know. Because we're told in another one part of the gospel that this sword would also pierce her heart. The sword of this word would cause her to recognize fully that she, you know, that she was in need of a Savior also. This very Son that she bore would also be her Savior and Redeemer. For he is mighty. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. You know, when we recognize that our God is holy, that he is the one who, you know, we would bow the knees of our hearts before, that we would, you know, come before and recognize that he is the one that provides unto us a righteousness, a robe of righteousness through his Son, Jesus Christ. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Oh, that all of mankind would know the fear of the Lord. You know, we so often look at fear and we interpret it as being a fear that is something that is very destructive. But I appreciate how Martin Luther, in his discussion of the commandments, he speaks in this way. He says that we should fear and love God. It's a reverential fear. It's an acknowledgement of the not only of the power of our God, but of the holiness that he has. A God who has brought to us a righteousness that is acceptable unto him through the work of his Son. That by faith we no longer have to fear our God and as we would fear a tyrant. But we come to know him as a God who's a God of love. That his, as he continues here, that his mercy is on them that fear him. The fact that God is willing to show mercy unto all of humanity. Jesus told us so plainly, didn't he, in that third chapter of John. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. This is the mercy of our God. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That's how our God works. You know, he's brought us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. He has called us to be servants, right, one to another. You know, to serve one another. That's the very fulfillment of the law, isn't it? Jesus took that law, the Ten Commandment law, the two tables, and he said the first is love to God. And the second, he says, is love to our neighbor. Remember how John in his epistles tells us that how can we love God if we hate our neighbor? It's not possible in what God has called us to do. We are brought to a place where we recognize that this is God's work. He's put down the mighty from their seats and exalted those of low degree. When we begin to know and to recognize ourselves as sinners, we find ourselves in desperate straits, don't we? You know, we find ourselves fearing the God that has created us. But he calls us to a place of recognizing that his love is so great that he will draw us to that place where he will call us through the message of the gospel, through this work that Jesus came to do. The closing part of the gospel of Matthew that was from the 11th chapter is a beautiful, beautiful message. It closes out in this way. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Jesus that was dwelling within the womb of Mary, that God called her to bear. It's the same Jesus that lives in your heart, dear brother and sister, by faith. He's calling you to share this message with the world around you. This love of God that has been born into this world, that took the penalty of our sins, died upon that middle cross of Calvary. And he suffered. It was not an easy life when he was here, but he didn't ask for pity. He didn't ask to be, for us to look at him in those human terms. He had a focus set before him to endure the cross, to despise the shame. For what? It was for the joy that was set before him, knowing that we would spend eternity with him. And Mary exalted in this fact that God would provide. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has he sent away empty. When we are rich in ourselves, we have no part with our God. But when we find ourselves in need, that's when God supplies. That's when he says, come unto me. He will provide and supply unto us. His hope in his servant Israel, in remembrance of what? Of his mercy. A God whose mercy is so far beyond our understanding of mercy. He draws us to a place where he assures us that we are his children. What a blessing to be able to be partakers even today of the Lord's Supper. To know that this very body and very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was given and shed for each one of us. Luther says in the close of his discussion of the Lord's Supper, he says, it requires truly believing hearts to know that it was for you or for me. To understand that this is God's plan for you. He says, come, come freely. He says, come and partake of that which I have provided for you. That which you could not do for yourselves, I offer unto you. Prophet Isaiah says to come without money and without price. The gift that God supplies is that which we can rejoice in and know that it is that which has been from the eternity past even unto this day. this gift of His love towards us, this gift of the supply that is able to bring peace into our hearts, because we become partakers of that kingdom, don't we? A kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. A gift that God gives. The prophet Isaiah writes this in the 55th chapter. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness." God doesn't just take care of us in an external way, and He does. But He says, let your soul delight in that which He has supplied. The gift of His Son, Christ Jesus, that suffered, died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, that sits upon His right hand, making intercession for us. She closes out, she says, "And He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This word continues to all of humanity. The gift that we have is that has been supplied unto us today. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day when we can rejoice in what God has supplied. Unto Him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with song number 28. "Lo, how a rose e'er blooming," number 28. Thank you.
Let us pray with and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
our sin, proclaim his innocent suffering and his death and his resurrection. Grant me pardon and peace of the Lord.
Thank you.
Salutary gift, and we beseech thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Shall we sing song number 174 is our song of thanks after communion?
Schedule for the week. Wednesday will be our final Advent service here at the church, 7 p.m. And next Sunday we're going to have our Christmas music service starting at 11 a.m. We're going to close with 40. We're going to close with number 40, Angels We Have Heard on High. And during this song, an offering will be taken.
Thank you. Gracias.